Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful congregation, and what a great pastor and Selena you have leading you as your shepherd. This has really been a great couple of days for Diane and I. You have made us feel welcome. Pastor and his wife have made us feel very welcome. And it's just a joy to be here with you to worship in word and sacrament today. The text for today is actually on the front of your bulletin. Jesus said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And here's what I really want to focus on, that they may all be one. While traveling with my family over a summer, a few summers ago, somewhere in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, we saw two white vans ahead of us that we were about to pass. Painted on the back window of the first van we approached were the words, "Honk if you love Jesus." My granddaughter, who was in the back seat, got very excited. And she said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, we love Jesus. We love Jesus. Honk your horn. Honk your horn." Well, since that's not my thing, and I don't like blowing my horn when we're traveling 80 miles an hour in a strange highway, I simply told her that Lutherans don't honk. This is a true story, by the way. To my dismay and to the delight of my family, as we passed by the first white van, written on the side of the van were the words, "Our Savior Lutheran Church." This is true, isn't it, Diane? As my family laughed at me, I pointed out to them that they must not be Missouri Synod Lutheran. As we approached the next van, it also had the words, "Honk if you love Jesus," on the back window, and my son said, "Great, Dad. Daniel went to the lion's den. People were burnt at the stake for their love of Jesus, and you can't honk your horn." So I honked, and they waved, and we smiled, and we shared our love of Jesus together. What do you do to show others that you love Jesus? Do you honk? If you don't, what do you do? What I have found in 43 years of ministry now is that the things some people do to express their love of Jesus drives other people crazy. Jesus prayed that his disciples and future generations in the gospel this morning would all be one. That we would have a unity in him that would be so powerful that everyone would see us. It would be a witness to the rest of the world about what he came to do. Listen again to his prayer, John 17. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Jesus prayed that those who love him would be one in that love, but that's not easy. And it never has been, because we're all so very different. As I've traveled around, I see rich and poor people, city and country, black and white and yellow, brown, men, women, children, teens, red state, blue state, a diversity of global cultures and traditions. Some of you today are going to watch Bad Bunny, and some of you are going to watch Kid Rock. And that's a division in our nation and even among Christians. Some of us are old faithfuls. We love the hymnal. Some of us are brand new. Some of us feel we best express our love of Jesus rocking out on guitar and drums, clapping, raising our hands, while others are just thankful that page 15 is back in the new hymnal because they can best express their love of Jesus in that traditional way. Your love of Jesus may compel you to forego alcohol. I don't see that here in Lexington, Kentucky. Because other people think that our Lutheran heritage demands that we celebrate our heritage and God's grace in the opposite way. Your love of Jesus might move you to protest in Washington about something political, or it may move you to Bangladesh to feed and serve the poor. We're all so different. How do you show your love of Jesus? And has there ever been a time, even in Scripture, when God's people were to be one? One together in how they express their love of our Lord in answer to our Savior's prayer. Well, let's see. Let's start very beginning. Abel expressed his love of God with a different sacrifice than Cain. And you saw how that turned out. What about battles throughout the Old Testament between brothers? Isaac and Ishmael. Jacob and Esau. Joseph and all of his brothers, Absalom versus King David, his father, all chosen people of God who loved God and God loved them. But they left us really, instead of a unity of purpose, they left us a legacy of disunity and conflict. So it must have gotten better in the New Testament. What do you think of when you think of Martha and Mary? You think of conflict. Martha's busy way of loving Jesus conflicted with Mary's different kind of love that expressed itself in sitting at the Lord's feet. Remember the disciples, they sought to love Jesus by keeping little children away from him. And Jesus said, no, that's not what you do. Such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Let the little children come to me. Do you remember the woman who poured expensive perfume over the head of our Lord in heartfelt demonstration of her love back to Jesus for his forgiveness and her acceptance? Some of the disciples complained that that money could have been better used. It was a waste of resources that could have been helping the poor instead of wasted on Jesus. At the transfiguration of Jesus, the high point, Jesus is transfigured and there's Moses and Elijah. And Peter said, oh, I want to build 3 tents here on the mountaintop so we can stay here and worship you. And Jesus said, no, that's not going to happen. We've got to go back to the valley to love people. Mountaintop experiences are great, but they're not what being a follower of Jesus is all about. Then they got back down, and Jesus told them all that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. And Peter said, no, you're not. And what did Jesus call Peter? Get behind me, Satan. And then later, Peter drew the sword to try to protect his Lord. He loved Jesus so much, but he loved him in the wrong way. Even after the ascension, Peter and Paul got in arguments about whether you needed to follow Jewish law before you could become a Christian. No, sometimes, maybe even often, our various imperfect ways of loving Jesus divide us rather than unite us. Yet Jesus prays for all people, for all time in the gospel this morning. Father, make them one. They couldn't do it in Scripture. How are we going to do it? It seems impossible for us to do that for him, as different and as critical as we are of other people. My son AJ, my oldest, was a classmate of your pastor. But when he was 3.5 years old, he was just like he is now, very, very stubborn. When I was on vicarage in New York, where it was winter for 10 months of the year, I was walking my son AJ, 3.5 years old, to church from the vicarage. It was very icy, so I said, you better let me hold your hand. And he said, no, Daddy, I'm big. I'm going to hold your hand. And I said, AJ, that's not going to work. He said, I'm holding your hand. So I gave him my finger, held onto my finger, we're walking. Ice came along, couldn't hold on, feet went out from under him, fell down, elbows crying, elbows, knees covered with snow. And like a good Christian father, I looked at him and I said, see, I told you. Then I picked him up and I brushed him off. And this is what we've been talking about all weekend. This time I held his hand. A stronger hand coming down to hold a weaker hand. And we walked along and his ice feet came out from under him. But this time he didn't fall. Because he wasn't trying to hold on to me. I was holding on to him. Folks, we cannot hold on to God by our own strength, by our own faith. We fall. We fail. We sin. And that sin divides us and it hurts us and it hurts other people. Perhaps the greatest truth of Scripture and the answer to Christ's prayer for unity of his church is in this, that it is not your grasp of God that saves you. It is his grasp of you. It is not your understanding of God that saves you. It's his understanding of you. It is not that you chose or accepted Jesus as your Savior. It's that he chose and accepted you as his forgiven child. It is not that you love God. It's that he loves you. This is the epistle. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since he so loved us, we also should love one another the same way. See, I'll bet if you're a normal human being, sometimes you love God a lot. And sometimes you don't love God very much at all, depending on what you're going through at any particular time. Your feelings and your attitudes change. They are subjective, subject to the ups and downs of whatever you're going through in life. God's love for you in Jesus Christ is unchanging. It is objective. It is strong and it is eternal. Though the Bible says you and I are fragile as grass in the wind, the word of the Lord endures forever. So I'm here to tell you what you hear every Sunday in this place. You are justified in his blood. You are baptized into Christ. And no matter what difference has happened to you on the outside, no matter how different you and I might be on the inside or the outside, we are one in our baptism. We are one in the Spirit. St. Paul writes in Galatians 3, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So our Redeemer Lutheran Church, Jesus did not just pray that we would be one together in the gospel this morning. He made it happen. He accomplished it himself. As subjective as our love can be, God's objective justification of the whole world in our Savior's death upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave was a once and for all declaration of peace and pardon, not just for you, but over the whole human race. Anyone who has ever been created, anyone who ever will be created. It's a matter of fact, not your feelings. Your sins are forgiven. And you're going to heaven someday just like me for the very same reason. Christ has died for your sins. Christ rose for your justification. Christ has made us all one in that. You see, Jesus prayed, "Father, make them one." And the Father from heaven said, "Son, make it so." And then Jesus put his hands on the cross and he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.